Today I want to ask a slightly different question, but follows on from that is, now how are we living? As you've probably picked up on, the theme of today is about humility. And humility is one of those things that we don't just wake up in the morning and think, today I'm going to be humble. You know, we don't necessarily come in with the mindset on a day-to-day thinking, today is going to be the day that I'm going to be humble, and I'm going to be humble in these different ways. Because humility is not something that we just put on. You know, it's a lifestyle that we start to do. And through our followings with Christ leads us more closer to Him, which leads us to act more like Him. And so, I mean, and talking about humility, especially in this day and age, I think more than ever, it's really against the culture, isn't it? Social media has us bragging about everything that we do, everything that we say, are bragging about our awesome dinner that we had and taking a picture for everyone to say, wow, that looks really good. TikTok has become the new fad of the social media world, where you literally dance in front of your phone so other people can tell you how good you are at dancing. I'm not on there, and I don't plan on being, but it's the new thing, and how good of video editing you are, because that's what it boils down to, is how good you are at these things. And so humility is something that I think often takes a back seat, especially just within the world itself. You know, we don't tend to talk about how humble people are whenever we're on social media or things or on the news. It's tend to be about either how bad somebody has been or how great they have been. And most of our, especially children and young people, are being trained to highlight their achievements and highlight the things that they do, and to make themselves look bigger. Now there's all the stigma on social media of, this is what social media looks like, and versus this is what reality looks like, and we can see that there's obviously a big chasm between the two. However, nonetheless, we are trained to highlight our lives, highlight the things that we do, and the things that we say, and the places that we go, and the things that we eat. However, Paul is discouraging this behavior to his brothers and sisters in Philippi, and he's encouraging them to be humble in their doings, in their life, everything that they say and do. And humility is not something that's just been brought up in Philippians. You can see verse after verse in both New and Old Testament of the being humble. Now, we have two examples of humility within Scripture. Often it's either those who have humbly done something, or somebody that God has humbled. But however, both of them have learned something throughout the experience. And Paul is no exception to it either. You know, Paul was humbled initially on the road to Damascus by God. Probably not a really fun experience to begin with. The fear of God appearing to him, Jesus appearing to him and saying, you know, why are you persecuting me? And then you know the story of, then he goes blind and is sent over. A man of God comes to Paul and prays, and he regains his sight, both spiritually and physically. And then Paul going on, probably, you know, even in that bit, Jesus says, this is my chosen instrument, I will show him how much he must suffer for my namesake. So the humility with Paul carries on. You know, the beatings, the shipwrecks, all the things that Paul went through. And yet coming in, and especially next week, we're going to see about, Paul almost gives a list of the things that he's achieved within his spiritual career, and how he counts it all as rubbish in the comparison of the knowledge of Christ. So Paul is a man who was humble, speaking to people, encouraging them to be humble. So verses 1 through 5, we have just that. Paul's encouraging them. Therefore, if you have any encouragement for being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, and any common sharing in the Spirit, and any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. But I've mentioned earlier is that humility is not something that we can just wake up and put on like a coat and say, I'm going to be humble. Unfortunately, that's the case. Is that so? Humility is something that we have to strive for. And as we're striving and moving along with Christ, as we get closer to Him, as we get to know Him more, as we seek Him more, is where it will outpour through our lives, through our living, is going to be a state of compassion. The things that Paul mentions, of tenderness, of compassion, of joy, and being one of love, and doing things not out of selfish ambition, not out of things that make us look good, or to get a well done at the end of it, but to be humble. And as we go through, I just want to kind of highlight a few bits. Now we get to verses 6 through 11. So Paul is saying, you know, how are we going to be humble? Look to Christ to be humble. Then there's this awesome psalm to Jesus that is in there starting in verse 6. Now I want to break this down a little bit because there's quite a lot that goes into it. And unfortunately, this is one of the passages that a lot of churches use to counteract a lot of things that are with Jesus. A new movement has stood up that says that Jesus wasn't actually doing his miracles and the things on earth as God, but he was doing things as a man that has been given the Holy Spirit. And the thing with that is, and the massive danger and heresy that is one that it takes away the divinity of Christ, first and foremost, and it puts Jesus down to a level that says he was actually no better than you and I. And with the Holy Spirit, Jesus was able to do these things. And now if we have the Holy Spirit, then we can do these things. And the thing is that Jesus didn't do things because he was a man that was that had the Holy Spirit, but he was a divine God in flesh. So I just want to break some of these things down because it is one of the things that is becoming really big within that movement. It's a teaching that is kind of subtle at first, but the more you dive in, the bigger it gets. So we'll start in verse 6. He who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Now, I think looking into the things that they teach, I can understand where they kind of get these things. However, they're very wrong in their interpretations of things. So the very nature, or some translations may say the form of God, is directly saying that Jesus is God and the underlying reality of his divinity, not trying to be divine. So it's not Jesus is somebody who was a good man or things like that. It is directly saying that his very nature is divine. Not that he had a God-like nature, but he was God, that he was divine within himself. Verse 7, rather he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. We have here again, it says rather he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we have here just a few other things. So where it says he used to his own advantage, Jesus was not trying to become God either. That's one of the other misconceptions that a lot of these new churches claim, that he was trying to be as God, but that he did not cling on to the privileges that he had and that were his to begin with. So when Jesus, when it says that he didn't use it to his own advantage, it is saying that he didn't cling on to those privileges that he had as divine God, that he let some of them go. He made himself nothing, literally translates as emptied himself out. Now, often the churches will teach that this means that he gave up his divinity at this point. So they don't teach that he wasn't born divine. They believe that, but that he gave up his divinity by becoming fully man. And so therefore he needed some help somewhere. And so that's whenever the Holy Spirit comes into play. You can see how dangerous this can be. However, this is one of the key verses that they use in order to create this entire doctrine and this entire theology off of it. So it literally translates that he emptied himself. The phrase means that he humbled himself, relinquishing his heavenly status, not his divine being. And there's a big distinction between that of him laying something down and choosing not to pick it up and losing his divine being as God. Having the appearance of man, again, it's not saying that Jesus just had the appearance, or that you know, if you were to look at him, you would say, oh, that's probably a human, but that he was actually fully man. And for the sheer purpose of that, he had to become human so he could die as human, so that in his natural state of being human, he was vulnerable. He went from being divine God to being divine man. He was man just like us in every way. And that's, I think, it's hard to wrap our brains around, because, you know, whenever we're talking about the things that we do and all that in our life, of that, the sins that we commit and all those kinds of things, that Jesus was void of all of them. His thoughts and mind were pure. His actions were pure, and they were all for the glory of God. And imagine that in every situation, coming in with the mindset of that I have no sin, reading scripture without having sin, going into the shop being sinless, not being burdened by our minds and the things that we have that are sinful, that we don't even necessarily say or do, but we think. Because I think that's the real killer, isn't it? It's not often, you know, I mean, we could do a raise of hands of how many people have killed someone in this room, and I would bet that no hands would go up. So our actions condemn us, our words condemn us, but also our thoughts condemn us. And the thing is that Jesus had all of those in perfect check. So Jesus didn't have the appearance of man, not meaning that he wasn't similar as us, but that he was one of us. His very life on earth was human. And then we have exalted him to the highest place. Christ was then eventually restored to the glorious status that he had at the beginning, but voluntarily relinquished for a time in order to become human. Which again, we have the opposite of what a lot of churches today teach, of that he was then kind of put at a higher position in heaven. Which is, again, a very dangerous doctrine to believe, of that he was so following the pattern of that. So he went from being God, that he lowered himself to being man, that then somehow was inspired by the Holy Spirit, that then was able to do all the miraculous things that took place that we read in Scripture. And then he died, and then he goes to a heavenly status that is higher than what he started out with to begin with. Do you see the dangers with all of these things? And the big danger is that the teaching is that you can too. And that you are our little Christ within you. And that, you know, it's not that we're living for Christ, it's that we are Christ, and that we can do these same things and the same pattern can apply. We just aren't born divine. They acknowledge that we're born sinful. However, once we get the Holy Spirit, we are untouchable in every way. But talking about all these things, like, let's look at the humility that Jesus had even before he came to earth. Choosing to come in the time that he came, choosing to have the birth that he had, choosing to have the life that he lived. You know, none of it was anything to brag about from day one. From day one of living, of being born in a manger in a stable in Bethlehem. So being born in a place that's not ideal, in a town that's not particularly special anymore. to go and to grow up in a normal home with a dad that was, you know, what we'd consider today of blue-collar type worker, carpenter, probably following in the footsteps of his father, being trained in the same kind of trade, and then being killed on one of the most humiliating things that could have been chosen at the time of the death that he was. The fact that he didn't even have a burial place, that they had to get one from somebody else in order to put him in. From time after time after time, the humility of Jesus is insane. He's laying down all the things that were rightfully his to begin with in order to die, in order to come to earth in the first place. To me, it just kind of blows my mind. And the thing is that the humility of Jesus is just overwhelming. We can never compare ourselves to it, and we can never get anywhere close to being as humble as Jesus is. However, like I've said, as we're seeking him and as we're pushing towards him, our actions are going to follow suit. And then we have the amazement of every knee bowing. One day, every knee is going to bow, and you may know, as every tongue confess, that Jesus is Lord. And on that day, those who have been completely unhumble from the day one, those who have rejected Jesus at every turn, those who have denied him his righteousness and have rejected him in every way, one day those people who are so against him are going to get down on their knees in humility to Jesus. Unfortunately, at that time, it's too late. Unfortunately, at that time, it's their acknowledgement of him has gone beyond it. And that day, whenever every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus is Lord, that's the day when Christ returns, and it's going to be a miraculous and amazing day. But all these people that we've grown up with, hearing about how stupid Christianity is, and how it's for soft people, or how it's for the weak-minded, or those that just need extra cuddles, or any of those type of other insulting things that you may have heard. Those people are going to be the ones that are going to be bowing in humility to Jesus, because the acknowledgement of him is undeniable. And imagine on that day, the entire world says those that are on the earth and those that are under the earth and those that are in heaven are going to acknowledge Christ as Lord. I mean, that, talk about a party. It'd be the best one ever. And the thing is that the reason why that happens is because the overwhelming glory of God is going to be revealed to the world, and they're not going to have anything but to bow. So, whether we're trying to live humble lives or not, one day we are going to be humbled. The question is are we going to be those who willingly bowing down to Jesus before his return, or willingly bowing down on his return? The question has to be asked. Now, how are we living our lives? How are we living? Are we living a life that is seeking Christ? And are we living a life that is imitating Christ? Or are we living lives that are trying to highlight ourselves and make ourselves feel good? Now, like I said last week, not everything that we do that makes us feel good, and not everything that we say is in its direct nature sinful. Like I mentioned last week about taking care of Avery, I think we can all agree that that's one of the main jobs of being a parent, is taking care of your children. It would be sinful if I just went, here's a banana, go nuts, whenever she's 6 months old. We would consider that to be cruel. Especially if you don't even peel it for them, just like, phew, yeah, eat that and be quiet. So not in everything that we do is going to necessarily be sinful. However, the heart behind it could easily turn that way. Of that, you know, it's a challenge to myself. And it should be a challenge of that, especially with social media, because I think social media really highlights our pride sometimes. Because I don't know about you, but it's quite nice whenever I post something or say something on Facebook or Instagram or something like that, and all of a sudden somebody likes it, and then another person likes it, and someone reshares it, and someone does this, that, and the other. I don't know about you, but sometimes I can go, I must be liked by some people. I like that. You know, because no one doesn't want to be liked. And the thing is that the action isn't necessarily within itself sinful, but it can lead to sin. And is it something that needs to change in order to do it? For me, yes. I have to come off of social media. I have to stop posting and things like that because I can easily become big-headed. And it's over stupid things. Like, hey, look at this pasta I made. 15 people say, that looks good. I'm like, should I open a restaurant? Maybe I should. Becky, what about opening a restaurant? You know, it's ridiculous. Because 15 people liked it, so therefore, I should open a restaurant. But are we living lives that are highlighting Christ, or are we living lives that highlight us? So Paul goes on to say in verse 12, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but in how much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, obviously, that doesn't mean approaching God and approaching our lifestyle of seeking to be like Christ in a fear and panic state. Now, however some people do that, it should be more of an awe and reverence to Christ. Of that as we come in, as we approach reading Scripture, we should approach it with an awe and a reverence for Him and using that book and acknowledging the power that it has between those covers. And whenever we approach prayer, acknowledging that and coming into it with an awe and reverence that we are coming before a holy God, that as we are praying, that we are praying to a God who is holy and that He is just and righteous. And I don't know about you, but often I kind of don't necessarily go in with that mindset of that I'm coming before a holy God right now and speaking to Him. Sometimes, more often than not, I come with the, hey God, and then give Him my laundry list of things that I would like, and then, all right, thanks, and then off I go. But, you know, are we approaching prayer humbly? Are we approaching reading the Scriptures humbly? Are we approaching listening to God's Word humbly? Are we doing it with an awe and with a reverence of the weight that it is to be in the presence of God? Verse 13, for it is God who works in you For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. The thing is ultimately, if we are seeking to be like Christ, is that we are going to be recognized and noticed of doing so. From the ways that we talk, the way that we act, the things that we do or the things that we don't do, will all of a sudden ask questions. That's one of the things that's happened to me often at work is, oh, so how many beers did you have over the weekend? None. One. Oh, I had 10. Why did you have 10? Well, why did you have one? And then, oh, well, let me tell you why. Because I don't want to get drunk, and here's the reasons why. And the laundry list of questions and things from people at work kind of go on and carry on from that. But they can see that there's something different. They know, how come you don't swear at work? Well, I don't swear at work. I don't swear at home. Why? Well, here's why. And it's funny, talking to them and asking and them asking questions. Because they can tell that I'm a bit weird and that I'm different from them. In all the good ways, and obviously I'm American, so that helps. Because I don't think we've been able to have a conversation where they go, oh, what? Just for the record, it is a wrench. It's not a spanner. But doing life with Jesus will highlight to other people. Other people will pick up on it because we go against the grain of what society says we should be doing. Society tells us that we should be living our best life now, that we should be doing the best as we can while we are here, that we should be seeking the highest paychecks, we should be seeking the best cars, the best house, the best spouse, and all the things in between. And yet, the Bible tells us to live quiet, humble lives. And how do we mix in the two? It's by our actions. It's by the way that we live. It's by the things that we say, by the things that we do, to where we show Christ to other people. I mean, and Paul's saying, you know, do everything without grumbling. If there's anyone that could have grumbled, it was Jesus. I think we can all acknowledge that. Even from the very beginning, Jesus, you know, could have grumbled all the way down. And even whenever we get to Jesus' death, whenever he's being beaten, whenever he's being put on the cross, by, you know, if go how deep you want to think, but, you know, just all the little things of, like, Jesus formed people. Like, he created humanity. And not only that, but he created all the little intricacies that are in our bodies, all the cells and the atoms and all the other things. I'm not going to pretend I know everything. One thing that he did create that I think is something that's crazy is that he created the spit gland. And he created the spit gland, and the thing that he created is now being sent on him as he's going up the road to the cross. People spitting on Jesus. And in that moment, Jesus doesn't go, man, I really wish I hadn't created that thing. And he's not even saying, you know what, I really wish I hadn't created humanity. But he's on the cross and he's praying for forgiveness for humanity. And I think that's the crazy bit of it, is that if anyone could have grumbled, if anyone could have done work by complaining, could have been Jesus, and that he was completely tuned in. He knew everything. He knew everyone. He knows all the in-betweens. And if he, being God, who created us, and seeing the downfall of humanity, and seeing all of these things, doesn't grumble, then us who are trying to be like him should follow suit. Because humility isn't something that we wake up and do. It's a lifestyle that we walk in as we walk in Christ. So my prayer is that we continue to walk in that manner of Christ, that we continue to walk with him. Because like I've said, we don't just wake up one day and say, right, I'm going to be humble today. Because it just doesn't work that way. It's an attitude, it's a mindset that we have to adopt through Jesus.